Okay, so imagine you're playing a game on your phone, right? And it like encourages you to do something, risky in real life, like
Yeah.
say cross the street without even looking. And then what if like that led to an accident?
Oh, wow.
That's the kind of question that this case, Maynard v. Snapchat, is raising
Yeah.
that we're going to be diving into today.
Yeah, this is a really interesting case. It really highlights how legal responsibility is changing, in our digital age.
Exactly.
It's pretty fascinating.
Yeah. So for our listener, the basics of this case are that Wentworth Maynard was severely injured in a car crash. And the driver who hit him was actually using Snapchat's speed filter at the time.
Right.
So the lawsuit is claiming that the design of this Snapchat filter is actually partly to blame for the accident.
Yeah, and I think what's important here is this isn't just about this one accident. The outcome of this case could actually change how we think about, how responsible are app developers for the safety of their users. It gets to the heart of whether an app can be held accountable for, the consequences of the way it was designed.
Absolutely. So why don't we start with that speed filter? What exactly is it and how does it work?
So it's a pretty straightforward concept. The filter takes your speed and like overlays it on
Right.
photo or video that you can then share like with your friends. So you can, picture someone driving down the highway, right? And then they snap a picture and it has their speed right there on the picture, for everyone to see.
And that just, I mean, right off the bat, it sounds like a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
It's almost like, it's like a game,
Yeah.
pushing people to see who can get the highest speed.
Yeah, you hit on a key point there, the gamification aspect of this.
Yeah.
It's really crucial to the case. I mean, think about it. Even simple games on your phone, the points, the rewards, leaderboards, those can really influence how we act.
Oh, yeah.
So you can imagine how a feature like this that's tied to something as dangerous as driving could, lead to some risky behavior.
Absolutely. So how did this case even make it to the Supreme Court?
Well, it's had quite a journey.
Yeah.
So initially, the trial court and the Georgia Court of Appeals, they both dismissed the claims against Snapchat. They didn't think the company could be held liable for how someone decided to use the app. But then the Georgia Supreme Court said, hey, we're going to take this case on.
Wow. So, and they ended up reversing those lower court rulings,
They did, yeah.
sending it back down for trial.
Yep.
So, what was the thinking behind that? What was their reasoning?
Well, so the Supreme Court basically found that the Maynards, the plaintiffs in this case, had made a strong enough argument that it shouldn't have been dismissed so quickly. Now, this doesn't mean that Snapchat is liable, but it does mean that they're going to have a trial where they can explore these issues in more detail.
Gotcha. So, what are the main, legal issues that we're looking at here?
Sure.
What are the Maynards arguing? And how is Snapchat defending itself?
So the Maynards are really focusing on these concepts of duty of care and proximate cause.
Okay.
And they're arguing that Snapchat, because they made the speed filter, had a responsibility to design it in a way that, minimized the risk of harm.
Even if, like, the harm came from somebody misusing the app.
Yeah, that's the big question here.
Yeah.
And the court actually said that just because someone might misuse a product, that doesn't automatically mean that the company that made it is off the hook.
Right.
Especially if that misuse was something that, a reasonable person could have predicted.
So is this like similar to a car company being responsible for faulty brakes, even if like the driver was speeding when the accident happened?
That's an interesting comparison.
Yep.
Because the court is basically saying that app developers, kind of like companies that make, physical products, have to think about the potential risks.
Right.
And they have to design their products in a way that tries to reduce those risks.
But Snapchat's not saying that they have no responsibility at all, are they?
Right.
I remember reading that they actually tried to use the Communications Decency Act to get this whole case dismissed.
Yeah, that's right. They were saying that the CDA, specifically Section 230, protected them from being sued.
Okay.
And this section is like, a really important part of internet law. It's meant to protect these online platforms from being held responsible for things that their users post.
So, like, if I'm understanding this correctly, it's like saying that the company that made a bulletin board isn't responsible
Yeah.
for, the messages that people pin on it.
That's a good way to put it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. But the court didn't accept that argument in this case.
Why not? What was their reasoning?
So they made a really important distinction here. They pointed out that the Maynards weren't suing Snapchat because of something that a user had posted. They were suing because of the way Snapchat designed the speed filter.
Hmm.
So the CDA might protect Snapchat from being sued for something like, you know, defamatory that a user posts.
Right.
But it doesn't protect them from a lawsuit that's about their own design choices.
So the CDA might protect Snapchat from, you know, being sued for something a user posted, but not for something that they themselves designed.
Right. Exactly. And they actually compared this case to Zarin v. AOL, where it was about a platform just hosting content that someone else had created.
Right.
But here, the focus is on something Snapchat made, the speed filter.
And it sounds like this distinction that the court's making could have huge implications for, you know, the tech world in general.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And we'll dive into those implications when we come back. So, you know, before... we were talking about how the court said that the Communications Decency Act, that it didn't protect Snapchat in this case. And I think this is where it gets really interesting because this could have a really big impact. You know, what this decision could mean overall.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if the CDA doesn't protect Snapchat here, what does that mean for, like, all the other tech companies out there?
Right.
And, you know, how they design apps.
Exactly.
It could, like, totally change things.
Yeah. This decision could mean we see a lot more lawsuits against companies for apps that maybe even unintentionally encourage, like, risky or dangerous behavior.
Yeah, it really makes you think, like, what about those apps that use geolocation data?
Right.
Could a company be held responsible if their app, like, encourages users to meet up somewhere dangerous?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I mean, it feels like legally we're kind of in uncharted territory here.
You're right. It's a whole new area of law. And it's not just geolocation. Think about, like, dating apps. Could they be held responsible if someone gets hurt on a date that, you know, started through their app?
Oh, wow.
This Maynard case, it doesn't have all the answers, but it definitely brings up these kinds of questions.
Yeah, it's pretty groundbreaking.
Yeah.
So, like, what's the big takeaway for app developers?
Yeah.
Should they be... thinking like lawyers now, product liability lawyers?
I think, yeah, they definitely need to be way more aware of how their design choices could play out, you know, what the consequences might be. It's not just about how they want people to use their app.
Right.
It's about how people would misuse it and what could happen because of that.
So, like, a real shift in how they think about things.
Yeah, it is. You know that move fast and break things attitude that you see a lot in tech?
Yeah.
It doesn't really work anymore.
Right.
Developers can't just be naive about how the things they make affect the real world.
Uh-huh.
They've got to think about user safety and be responsible when they're designing these things.
Okay, so they need to be thinking about those risks, but what can they actually do to, you know, reduce those risks?
So there are a lot of different things they can do, and it really depends on the app, you know,
right,
and what kind of risks they're dealing with. But, for example, they could add warning messages, like, you know, those pop-ups that remind people to be safe?
Uh-huh.
Or they could disable certain features in certain situations, like we were talking about earlier with the speed filter. It could just turn off automatically when you're going too fast.
Oh, that's interesting. It makes me think about some of those features you see in, like, fitness apps.
Yeah.
The ones that encourage you to, like, compete with other people.
Right.
Or track your location while you're out running.
Uh-huh.
I mean, could those be a problem in some situations?
I could be. Yeah, potentially. And that's why it's so important for developers to be thinking ahead, you know?
Yeah.
Thinking about these scenarios and asking themselves, is there anything we can do in the way we design this to make it safer?
So it's like a mix of anticipating the problems and then building in those safety measures from the very beginning.
Exactly. And we might also start to see more apps using algorithms to try to catch risky behavior, you know, flag it.
That makes sense.
The main thing we can learn from Maynard v. Snapchat is that these companies need to be proactive. They need to anticipate and prevent these risks, not just react after something bad has already happened.
It's all about being prepared. But, you know, let's be real. This case isn't actually over yet, is it?
Right.
It's going back for a trial. So what happens next?
Yeah, that's an important point. It's not a guaranteed win for the Maynards.
Right.
Snapchat still has a chance to present their side of the story and show that they did try to prevent harm, you know, that they were reasonable.
So what kinds of things might they argue?
Well, they could say that the speed filter had, like, legitimate safe uses.
Okay.
and that there was no way they could have known that the driver in this case would misuse it in that specific way.
Mm-hmm.
They might also try to focus on how reckless the driver was, you know?
Yeah.
Say that her actions were so far outside of how the app was supposed to be used that it's not really their fault, that it breaks the chain of causation.
So they're basically saying that it was the driver's choices, not their app design, that caused the accident.
Yeah, exactly. And they might even bring in expert witnesses to talk about, you know, industry standards for app design and safety features.
So even though the Supreme Court said the case could go forward, Snapchat could still win at trial.
They could. But even if they do, I think it's a really big deal that this case has gotten this far. It's like a warning to the whole tech industry that things are changing.
Right.
The legal landscape is shifting.
Yeah, I mean, this whole situation brings up some pretty deep questions about personal responsibility.
Right.
And the influence of technology. Like, where do we draw the line?
Exactly.
And how do we encourage new technology
right.
without, you know, putting people at risk?
Those are some big questions we're all dealing with right now. It's complicated and it's constantly changing.
And this case is right at the heart of that debate.
It is. And I think the Maynard case really forces us to realize that the choices we make as designers, as developers, as users, have real consequences.
Consequences that can change lives, like we saw in this case.
Exactly.
We'll definitely be watching to see what happens when it goes back to trial.
Absolutely. It could set a precedent, you know,
yeah.
for how we hold these tech companies accountable in the future.
Yeah, for sure. Well, this has been a really interesting discussion. Thanks for, you know, walking us through this case. It's complicated.
Oh, of course. It's been my pleasure.
And to our listeners, we hope this deep dive has helped you understand Maynard v. Snapchat a bit better.
Yeah.
And, you know, the impact it could have on tech and, you know, even beyond that.
Right.
If you want to learn more, we'll include some links in the show notes. See you next time.
Right.
So before we were talking about how this case could actually play out in court.
Right.
Sounds like there are like a lot of legal arguments to be made.
Yeah, definitely. It'll be interesting to see what Snapchat comes up with. You know, what evidence they use.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, the jury is going to have to consider everything, you know, look at all the factors and decide if, you know, if Snapchat's design choices really did contribute to the accident.
It's a lot to think about.
But yeah.
Maybe we can, like, shift gears a little bit mm-hmm. and think about, you know, the people listening.
Sure.
What are the big takeaways from this case, from Maynard v. Snapchat, no matter what happens at the trial?
I think, the most important one is that app developers, they really need to start thinking about their responsibility more.
Yeah.
This is like a wake-up call for everyone in the industry.
Right.
It's not enough to just make an app that's cool and fun to use. You have to think about how it could affect people in the real world. And you have to think about that from the very beginning.
It's like, what's that saying? With great power comes great responsibility.
Boy.
Feels kind of relevant here.
Absolutely. And it's not just about physical harm either.
Right. You got to think about like mental health too,
mm-hmm.
emotional well-being. Like, are there features in your app that could be addictive or that could encourage like unhealthy behavior? Mm. These are things developers need to consider.
So it's not just about the technical stuff. It's like you got to think about the ethical side of it too.
Exactly. And I think it also shows that we need like more communication between the courts and the tech industry. You know, the law is always trying to keep up with technology.
Yeah.
And cases like this, they're shaping how the law works in real time.
Feels like we're at a crossroads figuring out how to use all this tech in a responsible way.
We are. And that's why this case, Maynard v. Snapchat, it's so interesting. It's making us ask these big questions. You know, how do we balance progress with safety, free speech with accountability,
yeah.
the power of technology, you know, with the responsibility to use it ethically?
It's a lot to think about. Any final thoughts you want to leave us with?
I'd say, you know, technology is incredibly powerful.
Right. It can do amazing things, but it can also cause a lot of harm.
Yeah.
So as designers, developers, users, we all have to think about how our choices are shaping the world.
For sure.
We have to talk about these things, you know, responsibility, ethics, and what the consequences of our actions might be.
Because even though we might be like living in this digital world, those consequences, they're real.
Exactly.
Well, this has been a really thought-provoking deep dive. Thanks for helping us understand this case.
You're welcome. Happy to do it.
And to our listeners, we hope this has given you a better understanding of Maynard v. Snapchat and what it could mean, you know, for tech and even beyond.
Yeah.
Until next time.